Wham! Talk 1600. You're catching the drift. Conservative talk. Intelligent conversations on local, state, and national issues with Gary Wellings, chief editor of the Current newspaper and Current Online. Join in the conversation at 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Gary Wellings.
And thank you for tuning in and catching another edition of The Drift. Joining me in studio, the irredeemable, deplorable, ipsy Ed Bondarenko.
Joining you in studio. It's been a while.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah. Well, thanks for filling in. I just didn't want to come in last week.
That's fine. Stuff to do. It's summertime, man.
I didn't have anything to do. I didn't have anything to do. I had no excuse. I was just like, I don't really want to go in today.
I said, it's summertime.
Yeah.
So. Summertime.
Well, yeah, Federer is awesome.
Yeah.
So we'll get him on more often. Love having him on, and you and Alex are great too. So love having you guys fill in for me. That's absolutely awesome. Well, what we do on The Drift every Saturday is go over the news that I put on the dailydrift.com, and if you're not going there, you should. It's
the news you need to know.
Yes, www.thedailydrift.com. I put a lot of effort into it, folks. Doggone it. Please go to thedailydrift.com. Check on it. Maybe leave me a comment even, and you can get a free subscription to that delivered to your email inbox, and I don't do anything with your data. So there you go.
What if it rains? Does it still get delivered on time?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Rain, snow, sleet, hail, wow. Obama, it makes it to your email inbox every time. So go to thedailydrift.com. If you want to email me and don't want to call into the show, email me, Gary at thedailydrift.com. You can also find me on Twitter, at Gary Daily Drift, and on Facebook. And Ed's easy to find on Twitter and Facebook, so look us up. And I want to say a quick happy birthday to my sister yesterday. I won't say how old you are, Donna.
To you.
Yes, but I want to wish her a beautiful happy birthday.
I saw that on The Drift. I went, who's Donna?
Yeah, the special people get the little blurbs. I might even put you up there on your birthday.
Ooh.
See, you'd be so gifted. Okay, so Tuesday is primary day.
What is that? Tuesday? Oh, yeah.
Primary day. And so we're going to give a little shout out.
That's elect Senator Patrick Colby.
Yeah, we've got a whole lot of stuff to try and jam in because we've got Congressman Tim Walberg calling in at the bottom of the hour. So let's bring on Bill Boring, who's running for Michigan State Rep candidate in the 55th district here. Bill, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Hey, how are you, Bill?
Great. How are you, Gary?
Good. So a friend of mine, mutual friend of ours, put you in contact with me and happy to give you a little shout out and give you a few minutes of time here to talk about what you're doing running in the 55th, and you're running as a Republican, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so why don't you take a few minutes, Bill, and let us know your hot spots and why you're running.
Well, the biggest issue that I'm concerned with is our roads. They're terrible.
Touché.
They've been that way for a long time.
Yeah.
We need to fix them right, higher quality, longer lasting. Much like the plan that Patrick Colbeck has.
I was going to say, was this Colbeck calling
in? Well, there you go. And so ride those coattails, too, a little bit, because you know what? I'm starting to feel really optimistic that Pat Colbeck has a shot at this. So hopefully,
I certainly hope that he does.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're running in a really liberal district, because I ran for state senate in that kind of similar district, and of course, it's pretty tough to beat the
history now.
I remember that. It's how many years ago?
That was 2010.
2010.
2010,
okay.
Yeah. So it was...
Yeah, I live Ann Arbor Township. I'm not too far away from you.
Yeah. So I've moved now. I just left Washtenaw County. Thank you. And I'm in Livingston County now, and I'm happy to be in Livingston County and out of this, the dregs in the People's Republic of Washtenaw County, you know. But roads is one thing, and do you have some plan other than additional taxes to fix the roads?
I think that we have enough money there already. We just need to spend it more wisely.
Yeah, we've had your buddy Joe on the show and my friend Joe, and Joe's got some great ideas, too. I think I actually had him on the show a decade.
Did they involve rocks?
It might have. But, yeah, I definitely the roads have to be fixed. And I don't want, I know what Gretchen Whitmer is going to do. She's going to jack us for more taxes, and they're still not going to get fixed. Because that's what Democrats do. They promise you the world.
Tax and spend.
Tax and spend. Take more money from you and never fix the problem, which
and
is
they
just
never call
crazy.
You back. They take and they never call you back. You know?
It's like a bad day.
You know, I've been self-employed since 83.
Okay.
First in commercial and industrial real estate appraisal, and then real estate and business brokerage, and now for the last 12, 13 years as a handyman and home repair person.
Okay.
And I know, and I advise my customers of this, that no matter what you're doing, no matter what the project is, you've got three things to consider: cost, quality, and time frame. You never get top quality done at a low price right away.
Right.
And the most important thing in any project, especially on our roads, is quality, because you get exactly one chance to get it right the first time. Otherwise, you do it over and over and over.
Which is what we've been doing in Michigan for decades.
That's
now
built in, isn't
right.
it? We were having to talk about this at work at lunch yesterday. And it seems like it's built in. The same company that paves the roads will get the contract to fix the roads.
Well, we need to change the specifications to require a higher quality that will last longer.
Yeah, and that's what Pat Kolbick's always telling us too, right? So if you dig
yes.
deeper, you pour more concrete, yes, it's going to cost more up front, but you get that savings, and Pat's done the analysis on that too, and you get those savings in the long run. So anyways, roads is one thing. How about the car insurance?
Well, our car insurance is the highest in the country. And it's been that way since 73 when the no-fault passed. And it just keeps getting out of control more and more every year.
And what do you think? Are you working with Pat at all on how we can fix getting auto insurance down to an acceptable level in this state?
Well, the first thing I've got to do is get elected.
After that, then yeah. what?
After that, then we got to dig into it and study it and just see what makes sense. You know, that any issue, doesn't matter what the issue is, you got to take a common sense approach to it.
Yeah. All right. So give us, Bill, because we're going to be short on time here, you got a website or anything that people can go to and check you out?
Not yet. It's in the works. I'm not as far along as I had planned to. Unfortunately, my mother-in-law passed away the end of May, and we're dealing with that and with the estate. And I've got a 15-year-old son who, for 2 years now, he's been in cancer treatment for T-cell lymphoblastic lymphoma.
So sorry to hear that. Well,
so
all our prayers
have been crazy, but yet I see a need, and so I put my name out there, and I'm running. I have a 3-way primary on Tuesday. And once I get through the primary, then the real work begins, because the likely winner on the Dem side is Rebecca Warren.
Yeah.
And it's going to take a lot of work to take her down, but I believe it's possible.
Yeah.
Bill, spell your last name.
B-O-R-I-N-G.
Okay.
Like not very exciting, or like drilling a hole.
Yeah. So can I give your email out, Bill?
Sure.
All right.
Please
so,
do.
So it's Bill Boring, B-O-R-I-N-G 2, the number 2.
Yes.
At
yep.
gmail.com, and reach out to Bill if you can help him out, or send some flyers around, and just beat the bushes, Bill. That's what it's going to take.
In fact, even give the phone number.
Oh, okay. I'll give it out.
734-545-4859.
There you go. 734-545-4859. That's Bill Boring running for 55th District.
Gary and I will not be voting for you, though.
Yeah, we're out of
district.
We're
not in your district.
The most important thing, tell your friends, anyone in the 55th, I'm in Ann Arbor Township, the north part of the city, that little narrow strip between 23 and Dixboro, Pittsfield south of 94, York Township, the north half of Milan, and Augusta Township.
Okay. All right, Bill. Well, thanks for calling in, and best of luck. We'll say some prayers for you.
Okay, and keep an eye out. I will have Facebook and a website up shortly.
All right. Sounds good. Thanks, Bill. Take care.
Thanks.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So there we go. So Tuesday, folks. Don't forget.
Yeah.
This is an important election. This is a primary. This is your chance to vote your conscience.
That's what we've been waiting for.
Yeah. come general, you're going to have to support whatever Republican wins this. But in the meantime, on Tuesday, you can vote for Patrick Kolbeck. That's who I'm voting for. I'm assuming that's who you're voting for. I'm just going to put the words.
You haven't seen my Facebook badge, have you? Ed Bondarenka endorses Patrick Kolbeck.
There you go. So, and the Drift radio show endorses Patrick Kolbeck for governor.
Current.
Right?
Yes.
And so I do hope Pat's going to make it. I really do. I'm feeling optimistic. I have seen like a two Cali signs and no shooty signs.
I'll be pulling the lever for John James.
Are you going? I'm still up in the air between Pensler and John James. I just, between the two of their ads battling back and forth, I'm like, who's...
There you go. It's 50-50, and I'm just going to go with James because there's just some issues. I heard him on the radio do an interview. I like his personal testimony. And if you know I use the word testimony, you know what I mean by that.
Yeah, yeah.
And the guy seems like he's a man of honor. I'm not saying Pensler isn't, but I haven't heard that from Pensler. All I hear is the one ad attacking James for donating some money.
Right.
And that's the only thing he's got. Come on. That's all I hear. Whereas I hear James has plans. He has a background.
Well, I like the fact that he's a military guy. I wish we had more of our veterans running for office because you know what? I think putting that time in the military, there you go. How come you're not running, Ed? I'm just saying.
I don't. I was
IPSC Council, something?
I was asked, like I get on the IPSC Council. I'm in the township anyhow. But
all right, let's take a call from Joe before he's been waiting patiently online here. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thanks. I guess if Mr. Boring is still listening, I've got a tagline for him. It might be a little long, but he can have a campaign slogan, the one time you want to associate with someone who's boring.
Yeah, it's a stretch. Won't fit on a bumper sticker.
It's a little long for a bumper sticker.
Yeah. Or a bumper. Yeah.
So what do you got, Joe? You got a little update for us on the Senate race?
Well, at this point, I really think it is too close to call. It could go either way. James definitely closes the gap, and I think, honestly, he has a bit of a lead, mainly for the things Ed was saying. Sandy is coming off. It's just all negative lately, and I think that's starting to turn quite a few people off. Just, it's all anecdotal, of course, around Facebook. My group, Thanks a Lot, Debbie Knott, all things to do with the Senate race. It's clear buzz for James. I know there's Pensler supporters in there, but they're awfully darn quiet lately.
Yeah, well, I tell you what bothers me, and I saw a commercial from Schuette this morning that I liked. Instead of going after Cali, he went after Whitmer. And I wish Pensler and James had done the same thing. Instead of hitting on each other, making things more difficult for each other, they should have been hitting Stabenow right from the get-go. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? That plays both ways. Let the people make their decision. Put your stuff out there. This negative ads, I think, do nothing to help us. And doggone it, the Michigan GOP, once again, doesn't say anything. They, instead of coaching these guys saying, don't attack each other, attack the real enemy, which is the Democrat who's done nothing for this state, they're tearing each other down. That just makes it, it makes it that hard for one of them to, at the end, come back and say, hey, I lost, but I support my fellow candidate.
Hard to reunify afterwards. And you've lost months of time that you could have been going at, Debbie. I agree with you 100%.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, anyways, I haven't made up my mind yet, Joe, so I'm still trying to figure out which way I'm going to go. I like John James. I like Sandy Pensler. It's going to probably come right down to the voting booth for me.
Uh-huh. It's coming down to Wayne County, like Joe has taught us repeatedly, and I think James has it. That's probably the real tipping point for me right there.
Yeah, I think he can probably pull the 30% Wayne County that I don't know if Sandy Pensler can pull. But then
I think he's got a better chance of doing that. I think Ed is right. That is a very big key determining factor. And I've talked to Bob Carr. He's ready, willing, able, going to be out there for whoever the nominee is to help reclaim that rural agricultural GOP vote that unfortunately crosses over to Stabenow just because she's on the Ag Committee.
Yep.
But I wanted to say about the governor race, you heard it from me first, bank on it. Whitmer will win, and for pure identity politics and to rile her left-wing terrorist-hugging core base, she will name Abdul El-Sayed as her LG. And there's been only one candidate willing to take him on, and that's Patrick Colbeck. The other's cowered in the corner. And if you want someone who's going to take on Whitmer and Sayed, Colbeck is the guy. The other two or three will just cower in the corner, afraid they'll be called names. It'll be like Romney versus Obama, kid gloves, and it's a losing battle. We gotta have Colbeck.
Yeah. Well, and let's tell people, folks, if you're serious about fixing Michigan, about getting things right, about keeping the economy rolling in the direction that you want it to, you must vote for Patrick Colbeck. I'm telling you, vote for Patrick Colbeck. With Schuette, you're getting a guy who didn't even follow through as the AG to follow up on voter fraud in Detroit. He just let it rock. Why? Because he's a politician. He didn't want to upset Wayne County.
Too busy worrying about his real estate empire in the Caribbean.
Yeah, and Cali was anti-Trump, right? So I'm done. I will not vote for Schuette and Cali in the primary. Not a chance. If I have to vote for them in the general, of course I will, because they're slightly better than the Democrat, but you've really got a choice. This is the time, folks, in this primary to go after Patrick Colbeck.
Joe, did you see the article in the Detroit News about the campaign finance irregularities on all three Dems?
I had not noticed that.
A clip from the article says, Ann Arbor businessman Sri Thanadar has delayed disclosing $6 million in spending. Former Senate Minority Leader Gretchen Whitmore is benefiting from $550,000 in untraceable advertising money. And former Detroit Health Director Abdul El-Sayed this week received a questionable $61,200 contribution from a political action committee. This is a Detroit News article. So,
wow. Dirty Dems.
Yep.
Dirty Dems.
What Gary was saying is illustrative. Schuette, again, didn't want to take on the voter fraud, nor did Johnson. Ruth Johnson, this applies to the Secretary of State race and why I'm backing Stan Grott. He is another one. He figuratively and literally, in this case, is the one with the balls to take on the voter fraud, won't be afraid to be called names.
Okay. All right, Joe. Well, thanks for the update.
Those were
appreciate
golf
it.
Balls, right? Those were, we're talking about golf balls, beach balls.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Take care, my friends. Love you.
All right. Have take care. All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Okay, so let's grab a quick call from Elaine in Ypsilanti. Wants to talk about John James and Sandy Pensler. Elaine, welcome to the show.
Okay, and may I start with Patrick Colbeck?
Yes.
I'm for him all the way.
Good.
I had an unexpected accident. I ended up in the ER. I ended up getting a vote from somebody in Ann Arbor for Patrick Colbeck. She didn't know who he was. But when she said, I want to see about the roads, that put my tongue in motion. As I was rolled out of the room, I said, August 7th, she said in a loud voice, I'll be there.
Great.
You know, I keep hearing that story. I hear the story on Facebook. Everybody giving these accounts of, I just won one voter. I just won two voters. And that's how it's working for Colbeck. And you contributed to that, Elaine.
Yeah. Yeah.
My insurance paid for it, but I don't care. may I say about John James and Pensler? I watched Channel 4, and I'm not impressed at all with John James' ad. And Gary kind of had the surprise about the ad too. I don't like it. I love Vets, okay, but we got three Vets right there in Washington. Brennan, Mueller, and McCain. And puts my thought. I heard Theron talk about, he was at a party, and he's talking to this guy, and lo and behold, it's Sandy Pensler. And I heard an interview with, Sandy on Theron's program, and Theron said, that sounds good. Pensler said that he had an agenda all lined out. I get nervous when I'm on the phone. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
I mean, on the radio. Anyhow, he has his agenda all laid out on Facebook, And I keep hearing, I said this to Tyrone, I keep hearing you guys talk about the Republican farmers are always voting for
Debbie Stabenow. Yeah, they do,
and,
quite often. Not all of them.
I had heard that Pensler had connections with the farmers. So, that's why I had my accident trying to turn my ballot in.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that. So let me, Elaine, are you voting for Pensler? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I had a problem getting the ballot there. Somebody else had to take the ballot in.
Okay.
This was on my way, and I had an accident and couldn't deliver it myself. So I am, and Tyrone has already expressed his thought. He and I had a conversation on the air the other day.
Okay.
Only because of what you guys say, how the Republicans, partly because the Republicans vote for Stabenow because of the farmers. And it's, well, I've already repeated that.
And they did.
So,
well, that's
anyhow. If Tyrone says whatever Republican wins, we have to bite
support
the bullet and
absolutely
vote for them.
Absolutely.
Good talking
well,
to you, Elaine.
Great call, Elaine. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Take care. All right, and she's right. No matter who wins, we must support them. However, between now and Tuesday, folks, get out, talk to 5, 10, 15 people, talk them up about Colbeck. Talk to them about whatever your choice is.
Because I got my Colbeck pin on my other shirt when I changed to come here.
Oh,
well, everybody here is going to vote for Colbeck anyhow. But.
Well, anyways, make sure that you do your share of that campaigning, whether you're at the gas station, whether you're at the grocery store, whether you're getting on get on Facebook and Twitter. This is the time to use that social media, your Instagram, whatever. Just take a snapshot of a Patrick Colbeck sign, whatever. It's very important that we get Colbeck in there. And whatever your choice is between Pensler and James, please make sure you do that. And then look for your local guys like Bill Boring or other people. Make sure you get into that.
Martin Church.
Let me take a quick call from Jan in Brighton. Jan, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you. As far as John James is concerned, I was really on the fence between him and Pensler myself. And what made up my mind was the fact that Right to Life of Michigan backs John James, but not Pensler.
Yeah, okay. That's
so
true.
If that matters to you, that's what would help me make my choice.
Okay, great. Well, that's a great call, Jan, and I appreciate it. And make sure you keep speaking out about your views between now and Tuesday and try and get people to vote Republican.
Absolutely.
Twice,
and like
three
the
times.
Last caller said, get signs out there, and even if you got to hand make them in your vehicle. And my favorite party store here in Brighton, the guy that works there, him and I talk politics all the time, and I said, can I put a sign on your property? He said, no, I don't own the store. I said, all right, here, take my button. And I took it off my shirt and gave it to him, and he put it right on. So, you know, whatever we got to do, we got to get the word out there and get people to vote.
Good. Excellent, Jan. Well, I appreciate all the help, man. Keep working it out.
All right, will do. Thank you. Have a blessed day.
You too. Take care.
Racist to me is thinking guy behind the counter at a party store can't vote anyhow, so.
Maybe. I was this close to saying, who is it? Because it might be my favorite party store in Brighton, too.
Yeah.
But since they don't advertise with us, we won't give them that plug.
No.
How's that?
Yeah.
And speaking of that, so folks, currentonline.com, CourantOnline.com.
Yes.
And we need to get more advertising in the Current. So please call Ed at
734-740-7309. And I got to tell you, folks, people like The Current. I get that all the time. They read The Current for the articles. They see the ads. Other papers, they just sit there.
They're
going to look through advertising.
Yeah. And I promise I'm going to write something, because I had somebody the other day say, how come you don't run anymore, Gary? And I went, aren't I allowed to have some time off? And it was the reason I got out of it.
Yep.
But I promise I'll get something in the next couple of months.
It's about time, man.
I'm sorry. I needed some me time, right? It's time for Gary to have a little me time. That's all. But I promise you, Ed, I will write something. And
you are calmer today. That me time's helping.
It is. My yoga. I'm doing a lot of yoga.
Yeah.
I'm doing a lot
that
of yoga.
That trick you did on, was that a wakeboard? You did the yoga thing on your head?
No, it was a stand-up paddleboard.
Yeah, okay.
That was the first time I was ever on one, right? So I got out and I paddled around.
Folks,
it was
I
first
kid
time.
You not, I saw this picture and I thought, come on, it's doctored.
No, it was me. I did the three-point
now
stance.
Now you're going to do on your head with your one wheel, right?
Okay, we'll see all of you on the other side of the break. I think we've got Congressman Tim calling in, so we'll see you all there.
always on the move, driving to work, hauling the kids to practice. How do they keep up to date? They listen to Wham Talk 1600 just like you. If you're a business owner, your message can reach these people wherever their travels take them. People tune to Wham Radio for intelligent conversation with hosts like Joe Pags, Glenn Beck, Theron X, and Dana Lesh. And they'll stay tuned for your message as well. Call 734-971-1600 today and advertise your business on Wham Talk 1600 and whamradio.com.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. The sound of anti-NRA protesters outside the organization's headquarters in Fairfax County, Virginia. Demonstrators fired up over the NRA's efforts at blocking gun control legislation and demanding that their tax-exempt status be revoked. Despite pushback from Pyongyang, the Secretary of State remaining positive the denuclearization of North Korea will happen.
Well, much tougher words from North Korea today. This is all about the implementation of a denuclearization deal agreed back at that summit in Singapore in June. Now, those details have not yet been worked out. And at a regional meeting also in Singapore today, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was urging the international community to keep up economic pressure on North Korea to enforce that denuclearization deal. But he said he was confident the deal would work out in time.
Fox's Kitty Logan. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Folks, great news. Operation Freedom and DaveJanda.com are growing and expanding our freedom-based platform. We have launched a new premium service at DaveJanda.com. Premium service includes premium member-only 24/7 access to the podcast from every Sunday Operation Freedom show. Premium members also have exclusive access via our archives to every Operation Freedom show since October 2010. Membership includes an exclusive access to a new Insider Insight show hosted by me, Dr. Dave Janda. Every week, each Insider Insight show includes an opening analysis of geopolitical events, followed by an in-depth interview of a featured guest. Premium members will also have access to our Department of Advanced Research show hosted by Nick Ruiz. This show utilizes Nick's extensive experience and expertise in the world of technology. Bottom line, folks, the monthly cost is less than my favorite deal, a Costco pizza, or in other words, it only costs 30 cents a day. The premium service is the biggest information bang for the buck. I hope you will join our Freedom Fighter team as a premium member service subscriber. Please click on the link at DaveJanda.com.
Your bridge to recovery and wellness is WellBridge. WellBridge is redefining the rehabilitation and nursing care experience with the most amazing resort-like care facilities you've ever seen. Their driving goal is to provide each guest with an epic experience. And in their pursuit of excellence, WellBridge asks each guest to complete a customer satisfaction survey after their stay. To date, they've earned a satisfaction rate of 100%. Here are some of the comments received. This is my home away from home. This place is outstanding and everyone is super kind. I am beyond pleased with all the care I received. The staff is so passionate for what they do and it shows. This was my mother's third stay here and she always loves it. I've referred this place to many already. My stay has been fantastic. For rehabilitation and nursing care, ask for something epic. Ask for WellBridge in Brighton, Fenton, Novi, and Pinckney. Now looking for talented nurses and certified nurse assistants to join their growing team. Learn more at thewellbridgegroup.com. WellBridge, your bridge to recovery and wellness starts here.
And welcome back. Thanks for tuning in to catch another episode of the Drift Radio Show. Here in studio with me, Gary Wellings, is Ipsy Ed Bondarenka.
Hey there.
Owner of The Current Newspaper.
Yes.
CourantOnline.com. Please advertise with The Current.
Yeah.
And phone number?
734-740-7309.
There you go. And you can get some free radio ads with your print ads like this. Mm-hmm. Hamburg Quick Lube, 7554 East M36 in Hamburg. You can call them at 810-231-0121. That's where I get my oil changed, at Hamburg Quick Lube. So you can get a free car wash with the purchase of a full service oil change. And there's always a coupon in The Current. Go to CurrentOnline.com and you can just print off that page. Take it in and give it to them, and it's perfect. It's right next to the Hamburg car wash, right? 810-231-0121.
You print off that coupon while you're printing off your guns.
That was a great meme, by the way. I like that. So, okay, we've got Congressman for our 7th District, U.S. Congressman Tim Walberg on the line. Tim, welcome to the show.
Hey, good to be back with you. It's the start of a new month.
Yeah, it's our regular phone call, and lots of things to catch up on, and lots of things for me to complain about, obviously. But why don't you give us a quick update, Tim? What's going on?
Well, I think what's exciting is the good things that are happening. We have challenges, but we sometimes miss the good things because certainly the national media doesn't want to talk about it. The fact that we now are at 4.1% GDP growth for this quarter, which is historic in nature. We this last month dropped to the lowest unemployment rate in 50 years at 3.9%. So we have more jobs available now than people that are ready and willing to fill them. We had an increase last month of 150,000 jobs. It's humming right along. I mean, when you think about the fact that now America's leadership is actually talking with North Korea, with Iran, with China, with Russia, and stating our case in an unequivocally strong way that we expect certain things to happen or the negotiations won't continue and certainly good conclusions won't come, and they keep talking to us. And the rest of the world looks on and, oh, by the way, says it's kind of neat to see America back and strong. And then the EU commissioner comes just 2 weeks ago and says, Mr. President, we want to buy more of your soybeans and we want to buy your LNG. That says two things. One, China, if you're not going to take America's soybeans without huge tariffs, we'll take it. And Russia, if you want to sell us and hold us hostage with natural gas, we can buy it from America. And those are good things that are taking place, and we need to remember that, this is America drawing back into the power that it is. And then we can get in the frustrating things, like a judge who I believe rules illegally and unconstitutionally, again, that DACA is to be the law of the land, and that the Homeland Security and Health and Human Services and America in general, this administration had no right to end DACA when, in fact, President Obama put it in after he said it wasn't proper for him to do it as well.
He had no right to put it in.
So it's an executive order that is unconstitutional, and yet this judge says it's violating the Constitution.
Pointed by Clinton.
To get rid of it.
Pointed by Clinton. What do you expect?
Hey, so is that going to go the next step up?
No, sadly, he was appointed by George W. Bush.
And another elitist anyway.
Yeah,
I have no love for the Bush family anymore.
I'm
done
so
with the Bush family. I'm done with the Clintons. I'm just done with that whole establishment in the D.C. swamp. So,
well, I think even more so, it shows the priority that the third branch, the third rail of government, has put itself in and has run away beyond what their constitutional authorities are. And they become lawmakers, they become judges, and they, in a sense, have become a president as well, telling a president he can't do what the former president did that said he couldn't do it initially. And when Congress didn't act, finally, after 17 times of saying, I can't do it, Congress, you have to, he ended up putting an executive order in. And all this president did was suspend DACA, and then ultimately say those DACA recipients that are here, we're going to let them stay, but we're not going to carry on DACA. So this is absurd what's taking place, and I think it's time for the American people as well as their representatives in Congress to stand up and say, you know, we certainly respect the third branch of government, Article 3 powers, but we have just as much responsibility for the constitutionality of a law as a judge does, and when they go off the rails, we ought to call them out, and in fact, I would encourage the president certainly to appeal this, but in the meantime, to consider other options up to including, say, Justice Bass has ruled. Now let him carry it out. Knowing the fact that President Jackson said that about Chief Justice Marshall, he basically said, I've got the army, Marshall doesn't, I'm going to do what I want.
Bill Federer just told us that last week.
Yeah. There you go. Well, you wouldn't know any of that, Tim, listening to the media, because they're just going on and on about how horrible things are. And even Nancy Pelosi, who I'm really questioning her
sanity.
Mental sanity at this point, talking about the tax cuts not working, talking
crumbs.
About Yeah, crumbs. It's sheer insanity. So I want to get an update, Tim. We're not seeing the documentation still from the FBI and the DOJ. What is going on that we can't get more action from Congress to lay down the line and make these guys...
It's Rosenstein, right?
Can't we do something to push Sessions or the DOJ or even the president to force that the FISA app just came out, right, and was fully redacted, and same with the dossier memo. Everything's getting fully redacted. We're not seeing any of this information. Is there a way to stop that and get the transparency?
Well, see, if you found where Sessions is at, I'd like to know. we don't see him anymore. My concern is, why doesn't the president ultimately lay down the law? He can supersede Sessions or anybody else and say to the FBI, say to the Justice Department, the duly elected representatives of the American people have requested you give the documentation. It can be carried on in a secure skiff where no one can see it, no one can read it, no one can hear it talked about, but they have the right to see all the information that they've requested. The president could do this. I know that our leadership, as well as the chairman of the committees, have requested the White House to carry this out, but I'm not sure why it hasn't yet.
Because if Trump were to do that, he'd have all the media in a howl trying to remove him from office.
Well, that's nothing new.
They already are.
That's right. They already are.
That's nothing new. So I hope that's the case, but I know that in the case of the Mueller investigation, it's not working in the favor of the Democrats. It continues to show there was nothing there. The only collusion that was potentially there was with Hillary Clinton. That isn't working well. So in the end, it is in a strange sort of way, has worked in the favor of this president and administration.
Are you guys impeaching Rosenstein or not?
I believe he will ultimately be held in contempt of Congress or impeached.
Well, isn't there a movement to impeach him? And what happened to that?
Mark Meadows, chairman of the Freedom Caucus that put it forward, indicated to the president just before we broke for the August in-district period that he would hold off from pushing that to the floor. So I would guess it'll come back subsequent to us returning in September or subsequent to the November election.
Yeah, thanks for clearing that up for
me. Here's what bothers me. I guess I can understand why Sessions and some Republicans, including Ryan and some of these people, don't want to broach this because they feel like, yes, the media and the Democrats are going to make us look bad if we open this up. But here's my thought. If you declassify all that information, let the public see it. Once we see it, we're going to be okay with Jeff Sessions or the president doing these things and firing Rosenstein and letting that out. Put it out there. Let us see that information.
Tucker Carlson was telling Nunes to leak it to him so he could put it out on his TV show.
Let the people see it, and then you can go ahead with the prosecutions, the impeachments, because we're all going to know. You know what I mean? Just endgame it and be done with it. Let us see that information. I want the president to declassify everything. Let us see it.
Yeah. The only thing we have to be careful of is procedures and policies that are used for these things. Some of those we do need to be cautious about letting them out to full disclosure. But the facts and the information, that's another story, and I concur with you. And that, again, is what Nunes, what Trey Gowdy, what Speaker Ryan and others have strongly requested and mandated under Article 1 powers. And yet, because we have no prosecutorial powers, we have to leave that to Jeff Sessions and the Justice Department. and frankly, we don't know where he's at.
The invisible Jeff Sessions.
That again is why probably there will be, I would guess, from talking to my colleagues, at least before leaving, that when the proper time is to bring up that impeachment resolution, it will move swiftly, and he will be impeached. It just like we did with Holder in holding him in contempt of Congress. Mm-hmm.
That went far.
Yeah. So, Tim, we've got Gary from Hazel Park wants to ask you a question about DACA. Derek, can you bring him in? Because I don't want to do the hang-ups on anybody. Gary, are you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead and ask.
Well, my basic question is, why can't the president just basically ask this judge under what authority he has to issue him any kind of order whatsoever on DACA?
Okay. Tim, you got an idea? Tim? Did we lose Tim? All right. Thanks, Gary. Hopefully we'll...
You.
I didn't touch anything this time.
That's why I don't touch anything anymore.
All right.
That's why Derek makes the big bucks.
Tim, are you still there? I think we may have lost Tim. Doggone it.
I'm here.
Oh, he's...
You know what?
Oh.
One of the things, it's important to get Senator Pat Kolpeck elected governors, because if we don't, we're going to sound like some schizophrenic bipolar nutbags, because half the day we're going to be talking about how wonderful the country is because we've got Donald Trump as president, and the other half of the day we'll be worrying about Michigan and Abdul ruining things for us.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's real important that we get Senator Kolpeck in there, because the alternative is disaster.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, thanks, Gary, for the call. If we got Tim back here, we'll have him try and answer that for you. Derek, did you get Tim back? Okay, bring him on.
I'm back.
All right, so did you hear that question, Tim?
No, I didn't.
All right, the question was, Gary was asking, why can't the president ask that judge, under what authority are you telling him that he has to allow this illegal executive order, unconstitutional executive order, continue?
There's nothing that prohibits the president from doing that, and I assume that his lawyers will,
that's what I was
in
thinking.
Fact, do that. The one thing that, in at least what I've heard of that decision, is that the judge didn't say that the president couldn't stop DACA. The reasons, though, that was given by the administration's attorneys didn't fit what he believed was the proper argument. Well, that sounds like a bunch of a gobbledygook to me, but that does say that if they say the right words, whatever that is, they can end DACA. So I would assume that the president's attorneys are fine-pointing right now all of the judge's decisions, and ultimately will either resubmit a document that uses the right language, whatever that might be, or does a direct appeal. But I contend, again, that there may be a time, just like presidents in the past who said to judges, including Supreme Court justices, you've ruled, but now you carry it out. What authority, what power, what army do you have to do that? And I would be tempted to do that if I were President Obama, especially with the great support he has from a base
Trump.
That understands, or excuse me, Trump. Thank you.
No problem.
The great support that he has from the people, understanding that
he's
not doing the same old stuff.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that judge did give him, what was it, 30 days, 20 days? I can't remember, but they have
20 days.
Yeah. So they've got 20 days. And then one of our problems we face is it's a 4-4 court right now on the Supreme Court. This is not something we want to come to the Supremes yet until we get Kavanaugh in.
Yeah. So have you heard anything, Tim? Are we going to have Kavanaugh before the election?
I hear all good reports that we're going to have Kavanaugh.
Okay.
And last I heard, they thought that he would be seated before the midterms. The Democrats are starting to look really stupid. About and of course Schumer generally does look that way, but they're starting to look very silly and petty with the type of arguments that are making. And now, after Kavanaugh has met with I believe three of the most vulnerable Democrat senators who are up for re-election in states that Trump won, I tend to think we're going to have that confirmation vote before the midterms, and he'll be seated. The Democrats will ultimately say, use that as a rallying cry to say, we can't take a chance to have our next justice go away and Trump have another opportunity. So now, folks, you've seen what's happened. We have to make sure that we take back the Senate and take back the House and make it very difficult for this president to do anything in the remaining 2 years.
Tim, I have a question for you regarding Schumer. This may sound stupid, funny, whatever, but you watch him when he speaks on television, right? When he's looking down at his notes over the top of his glasses and just droning. You've seen these, right?
Well, that's how he talks generally.
Okay, so there's a blonde woman who's sitting to our right, his left, unsmiling blonde woman who's invariably there. Who is that?
It could be Senator Patty Murray.
Really?
Oh, shortish hair?
Yeah.
Like that?
Yeah,
yes.
She's always just sitting there while he's speaking. I have no idea who she is, what she's doing. She doesn't look supportive. She just, like, frowns the whole time he's talking.
Well, Patty doesn't smile much. And the one good thing that Patty Murray did, has in her record, is the Ryan Murray plan for our budget that we've stayed on for discretionary budget since 2011. Somehow, Paul Ryan snookered her or whatever, but got her to agree to that 2011 budget plan and that it would continue, and we've kept it in place since then. But Patty doesn't smile out much, and I have seen her because she's part of the Democrat Senate leadership team, so she would be standing up there. If that isn't her, then it's probably a staffer. But
I was just wondering, you know, it's kind of weird. Yeah.
All right, well, that leads me to the next one, Tim. So wall funding. I don't want to wait. I want my wall now. I want my wall because not that I'm worried about the Democrats taking control, because I think that red wave is going to be there. The blue wave is a dribble at best. But I don't want to wait. I want my wall, and I think the base and the 63 million Americans who voted for Trump all want their wall. That's what we were promised. It's the one campaign promise that is yet to be delivered. It really goes back to the House and the Senate to get this done. Can we get our wall?
And what about shutting the government to do it? As Trump is talking about.
I don't think anybody wants to shut the government down. We want to keep it moving the way it is moving and getting a lot of good things accomplished. Remember, let's not forget about the good things that the national media doesn't talk about that have been accomplished and the reason why there's so much optimism in this country, because we did get things down, and Chuck Schumer shut it down. Didn't help him very well. So even he, I don't think, wants to shut it down right now. And the president, I think, in the end, has come back and said, let's get what's necessary done, and I'm there to help. You know, as you may remember, last month I voted on two specific bills, immigration bills, both of which had wall funding in it, one total funding. I voted in favor of both of those bills. The president has come out now and said, we're going to continue pushing for those, and we want to get those done before, if at all possible, the midterms. But he's also indicated gratefulness for the $1.6 billion that we put in that funds one full year of wall funding. So he can spend the rest of this year building the wall that he can accomplish in 1 year because we've given that funding. But I think before he ends that year, we will have the rest of the funding in place.
Hey, can you shut the government down these days if we're doing budgets instead of CRs and doing appropriations? Is it possible to shut the government down?
Oh, it is possible to shut it down to a degree, and that's where it causes the problems, because you end up not funding things that make the most importance to the general public, including military families, and that's the challenge that goes on with that. The rest of it doesn't get shut down because it's mandatory. Social Security remains funded, of course. Medicaid, Medicare remains funded. Your Obamacare provisions that are still in place, because they are law, signed by a president, and they can't be rescinded unless another president signs a bill that rescinds them. Those are automatically funded. They're mandatory. But when you get down to the discretionary areas, including most of the military funding, that's where the problem comes, and the post office and things that make difference to the general public. And that's why Chuck Schumer thought he could push us to a wall, and we ultimately said no, and the president said no, and finally Schumer sheepishly gave in and let the vote be taken to bring the government up again.
Okay,
but we can do far better than that, and the House has passed 6 of the 12 appropriations bills now. Last year we passed all 12, and they died in the Senate. This year we hope to pass all 12 again before the end of the budget year, and if we keep moving forward, we show the American people that we aren't dysfunctional, and if someone wants to be dysfunctional, it'll probably be the Democrats in the Senate. The House can't stop us if we hold together, and that's why we have passed so many good things. But the Senate Democrats could be dysfunctional and stop the movement forward. And hopefully the American people will see that it's not this president that's dysfunctional. He's ready to move forward on everything. I mean, the guy's hopping up and down, ready to sign bills. He signed a career and technical education bill last week on Tuesday that I was a co-sponsor of. I had several of my my proposals and bills in that. And he was excited to sign it on Tuesday and say, we are moving the country forward with job training opportunities to put people to work in the real world jobs that are going lacking for people, because we've forgotten that we should train people for those professional trades and not just send people to a four-year institution to ultimately get out with a high student loan debt and probably end up living in their parents' basement working as a barista. So those things are moving forward, and that's why I don't think the president or the Republicans want to shut government down. We want to make it work for the people.
Okay. So let me ask you one other thing, because I wanted to ask this right at the beginning. We didn't get a chance to. Speaker Ryan, is he still going to stay until January? If not, do we have any movement on a new speaker, a replacement for him coming forward?
No, he'll be staying. He'll be staying. It would be at this point in time, we don't need any more politics and upheaval. And I've been through six now with Boehner resigning midterm. I've been through six speakers elections and leadership elections. They're not fun. They become emotional, and you're voting for or against friends of yours, colleagues of yours. We don't need that now. We've got a lot of work to do and build upon the successes, but we do have several people that have indicated an interest in going for speaker, including Kevin McCarthy, including Jim Jordan, and a couple others that probably have far less of opportunity. Steve Scalise is also open to it if indeed Kevin McCarthy doesn't run, or for some reason Kevin McCarthy backs out. And Steve was a wonderful guy as well, would have a lot of support, especially since he's shown such great character after being shot by that crazy Bernie Sanders guy.
Yeah. So, Tim, Joe from Ann Arbor had one last question for you, and I think I know the answer because I heard you on Gruber the other day. Joe's asking why you're endorsing Bill Schuette over our other governor candidates here in Michigan.
Yeah, there's only one major reason that I would endorse him over the others. You know, I heard Gary, the last person, talk about Pat Goldbeck. He's a friend of mine. He's a great conservative. And then you look at Lieutenant Governor Kelly. He's a conservative. He's been faithful in helping, I think, a very positive outcome of this administration. We may not support everything that the governor did, but doggone it, look at the state compared to Granholm. Yeah. And then I look at a fine gentleman, Dr. Hines. All good people, but I go from an aspect that it's not only important that a person be a great campaigner, a tough campaigner, but I've lost two elections, and I found out I learned more about running campaigns to win by losing those elections. Schuette has lost an election, and because of that, he's never lost one after that.
Okay.
And I think we need someone who knows what it takes to win in a tough, tough race.
Right.
It's going to be a tough race.
Okay. All right, Tim. Well, thanks. Hopefully we'll talk to you again next month. And if you have something else later this month, please call in and let us know, would you?
I will do. And thanks for the opportunity.
Thank you, Tim. Appreciate it as always. Bye-bye. Okay. And until next week, folks, go to thedailydrift.com.
It's the news you need to know.
And go to currentonline.com. Please advertise with The Current. Get hold of Ed.
Yep.
All right. See you then. Take care.